young wanderer, will you accept the challenge?
I will.
Good, then follow me through this new portal to a new area you have unlocked in the Fantasy Premier League game. It's full of wonders, excitement, mystery, some surprises, some seductions, and anything else you can imagine. Welcome to the Fantasy Premier League Challenge.
In beta mode.
Listener, it's good to have you with us after a bit of a hiatus. We're on an international break, but we're back here in the podcasting studio, the podcasting hub, the corporate global Fantasy Premier League hub, here with me, Taylor.
Me, Evan.
And me, Will.
We've got Willie in the house! Will's handling all the seductions for the fantasy challenge.
Yeah. Indeed. My name is Will, a.k.a. Willie, a.k.a. William, a.k.a. Spicer.
A.k.a. Will.
Bruce Matthews.
A.k.a. Wills, which is what your screen name is right now. Wills.
I know the Wills. Classic Will, like last name, first letter. Fun fact, one of my Halo 3 competitive friends, his name is Wills.
Oh, really?
So
that's got to get confusing.
No kidding. That's got to be tough.
Interesting. I wonder where, like, the different origins of the name Wills as opposed to William. Wills, for some reason, sounds very Dutch to me.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like, Wills?
Yeah.
Wills? Hmm. Yeah, Wills there is a lot more
Wills
of that.
Wills is going cycling today.
Yeah, and I do know that I'm not going to dox the person, but the last name would indicate this could be correct. So ooh. I will say that.
Oh,
Vils de Koenig. Anyway, how are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Fantastic.
Well, listener, as you might expect from that scintillating introduction that we gave, we have some news. We have some live on-air breaking news. Evan, do you want to explain the news we plan to break here and now?
The Fantasy Challenge game mode has been opened on the Fantasy Premier League website, and we realized that literally 1 minute before we hit record. So we will be doing, we have not really read anything about this, so we will be doing a live reaction to this game mode. And hopefully by the time this podcast gets released, you will have not noticed. So it could be a surprise for you.
Yeah. Can we all just, before we do this, can we all just like pause on a shocked face so that we can create a thumbnail for our very popular YouTube channel, where like in the corner, it'll be Premier League Challenge. And then the rest of it will just be us three with our shocked faces looking at it. All right. Yeah. 1, 2, 3. Perfect. Thank you. You'll never guess. Three 30-year-old white dudes react to Fantasy Premier League Challenge.
Oh my god. It's so predictable. It's not even funny.
It's so predictable.
Should we get into this? Start looking at what this is?
Yeah, you want to read it for us, Evan, and we'll all have it in front of us and we can maybe talk through what we think it might be and how we might kind of approach it.
Yeah, so I'm just like on the home page. After you click into the Fantasy Challenge game mode, I'm just on the home tab. And it looks like game week 30 challenge, you have an unlimited budget. So managers receive an unlimited budget, and so you just make a team however you want, which seems fun. You keep scrolling down and you get a little bit more context to the game. It just says Fantasy Challenge, the new weekly game from the Premier League. Play against your friends and the world's best managers in the new weekly format of Fantasy Premier League. Let me read the next one as well. It says, new week, new challenge, no commitments. Start each game week with a blank team sheet, reset budget, and a new challenge. If you can't play this week, that's no problem. Leaderboards start fresh each week too. All right, so what do you all think of that so far?
Wow. I like the idea of a new challenge.
Yes.
Like, can you amass, two clean sheets or like X number of bonus points or one clean sheet, one goal, and one, like, I don't know, something like that. I think that could be really fun.
Yeah, I really like that a lot. And they're starting with a simple one with just unlimited budget. So it's like a simple challenge. But I imagine it said it did mention a budget. So we will probably have budgets in the future. So you will still have to, like, there will be obviously different challenges and unique circumstances that you have to build a team around.
So you're thinking the unlimited budget is the challenge for
this week,
but it will be different for 31. Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. That's how I'm reading it. Yeah.
So
it
says the new challenge might be something like you have unlimited players from each team. So like they remove the 3-player limit. And so you can put as many of the players from the same team. Like they can do that each week.
Or like what you said, Taylor, like, well, I guess not necessarily a goal. It's more of a restriction or like a new rule, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the challenge could be try to get as many clean sheets as possible. Like maybe only clean sheets count as points or something, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Which would be funny. So at first, I don't know, like, I think it seems kind of fun. And it's nice that you can just kind of come in and out of it. Like if you don't do it 1 week, it's fine. Like if the challenge, you know, doesn't seem fun, you just don't do it. But
yeah, I like that too. Like, for instance, I have a friend in my department who is a pretty big Arsenal fan, and she's never played Fantasy Premier League before, has never really like thought about trying it. And I've been trying to convince her to join the league next year, but it would be nice to like, for her to play something like this, where you could try it out, you know, later on in the season, sort of with low stakes and figure out if you actually like it or not.
Yes, I agree. I agree. And I'm not going to lie. I'm poking my little eyes a little further down, but another benefit of this system is there's a make transfers at any time. So instead of having the time when the game locks, it lets you do it up until kickoff of a team. So like you can wait until like those Monday. So even if you miss the first kickoff, you could even still potentially get a team together for a week.
Oh wow. Interesting.
So that also seems to be something that could be helpful, because it feels like once the games kick off, so often I've done it too, where you're like, oh no, I forgot to do anything for a lineup. But now you could even still get a lineup.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's a part of me is wondering if they are if that specific portion of it is maybe them testing what happens if we just like allow there's no deadline until the match kickoff. And then if that goes well, we just implement it in the regular game. Cause honestly, that would just help so much.
I think that might be part of what's going on.
I think that's like maybe one little thing that they're going to keep an eye on. But I did see, I don't know if you read that part of it as well, but it says you can select up to 5 players from any one club to build your squad of 15 instead of the normal 3.
So an expanded.
Yeah, unless there's a challenge that would then restrict it or open it up. And then the last thing on, like, other than like the blog and like other things, it says win a trip to New York.
Yeah, so. I'm looking at the rule, the sort of expanded rule set, most of which is information we already know, but it does say that like scores aren't kept over successive weeks, so all scores reset to 0, and you're literally just competing for that 1 week. And so that could be quite fun too. You could get very experimental with things.
Okay, maybe the New York trip is like something specific to the beta. You can also win weekly prizes, so it sounds like there will probably just be small prizes each week for the winner of whichever one. So
it seems like the New York is just like it's just a raffle. It's like each time you enter a team each week, it's just giving you an entry into the drawing.
I see.
Yeah.
Wow. They're advertising Ange Postecoglou on that New York advertisement. Well, what if it was you get a trip to New York with Ange and you get to have like dinner with him?
That would be fun. I want to go to dinner with McAllister, who's one of the other people on here.
You could go for some like Argentinian beef or something like that.
I know you've been missing home, so we flew you from the UK to New York to eat some Argentinian beef with me.
Yeah.
Interesting. Are you seeing anything else in that rule set that seems interesting, or is there anything else that we can find on this game?
I'm not reading it super closely, I'll admit. It looks like all of the score calculations, just glancing at them, it looks like all the score calculations are the same.
Okay, yeah, that would make sense.
Oh, wait, actually, no, how is the BPS? Oh, bonus points. Okay, never mind. Yeah, it looks like the score calculations are the same to me.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's exciting. That's really interesting. If you had to summarize your reaction in one word, Spice, what is it?
Fun.
What's yours?
And you said one word?
Yeah.
Incredible. I don't know.
Wow.
It's like, really, I don't know. I haven't played this game yet. It's going to be interesting, I think. Cool. Maybe interesting is the word, because I think it just, I've never seen anything like this where they like roll out something mid-season and it's like, it really does feel like they're just kind of like testing the waters for a lot of things.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting. I wonder if they had always planned to roll it out for like these last, basically, what are we, like 10? It'll be the last like 8 game weeks, basically. I wonder, yeah, I guess it probably makes sense to sort of like keep engagement up for those last game weeks.
And to test it in a small portion of the season before they roll it out for a full season next season.
Yeah.
What about,
and that way they can make changes over the summer and that sort of thing.
Yeah. What's your one word? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling titillated.
Ooh,
good word. It was always going to be you with the best word. Let's be honest.
You're the tech writer among us.
Yeah, which is. Yeah, but I'd use the same words over and over.
I guess that's true. It's like you don't really want to be inventive with your technical writing.
No, you got to be the opposite. You've got to be predictable.
What's the most inventive word that you find yourself using?
In the most inventive word?
Or interesting word.
Oh.
In your lexicon as a tech writer.
Gosh.
The word, when you use it, you're like, ooh, I'm glad I got to use that word today.
There's usually not very many outside of like technical terms, but just like kind of like maybe, I don't know. It's probably something like trying, it's usually a word like coordinate or in conjunction with, or something that like you have to try to say exactly where the button is in conjunction with something else, and without having to rely on visuals, and without having to over explain it.
Yeah, that makes
sense. I don't know if it's like is it coordinate? No. I feel like there's like some words like that every now and then. There's like two or three different ones that I can rotate. But usually that's what it is.
Interesting. Wow.
Everything else is boring.
Everything and I'm else unemployed, is boring. So I use fun.
Oh, man. All right. Anything else you wanted to say about the Fantasy Premier League Challenge before diving into our next segment?
I don't think so. We'll see you out on the pitch.
Yeah. See you in the new portal. yeah. All right, Spicer, we have you here for a number of reasons. One of them. First of all, because we love you. Next of all, because you're currently.
Love y'all.
You're currently in seventh place, which means that you are in an Evan and Taylor sandwich right now from a standing standpoint.
Yeah, we are clubbed together, these three right now. We are very much enemies.
Yeah, Evan is in sixth place, Spicer is in seventh place, and I'm in eighth place.
I just moved our Zoom screen so that way it reflects our ranking. And Spicer is sandwiched in between me and Taylor.
And yeah, so that's another reason, is so we can maybe air any grievances we have, you know, whatever. But mainly, the main reason is because a project you've been working on, which is a, and correct me if my terminology is wrong here, but a predictive model for the Fantasy Premier League. A bot.
Yes, Evan, an AI.
Evan, an AI.
The proverbial AI.
Artificial intelligence. That Evan and I have talked a little bit about, like, ways we might be interested in applying to the league and things we might be interested to do with it. But first, we want to hear you explain it. And then maybe we can talk about some ways it might sort of intersect with our league. So,
yes. Okay, cool. Well, thank you. You know, happy to be a friend of the podcast, come on here for the maybe third time or so.
Yeah, that's a good question. How many times have you been on here? I think at least three, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Three-time Potter.
Yes. So happy to be back. Happy to be coming with some work this time to show you. So I will say, you asked me to explain it. Part of the deal is I'm not exactly sure what's going on here. So
are you going to say that in your interview tomorrow?
That's kind of the whole thing. Like, it's kind of a black box. Like, we kind of know what's going on, but it's a bit of a magic trick. But the two things I really have are, it's like this. So there was this website that had how to pull all the data from the Fantasy Premier League, and this must just be kind of like a European versus North American thing, but all of the API, like all the data from them, is free, like, and easy to access, which is not super common.
Now, when you say data, just let's get granular. What are you talking about?
Okay, so this has, so like the data that comes in will be, I can like
yeah, I'm just saying like fantasy point, like points that yes. players have scored, and like,
so imagine it's
stats in game stats.
Yes, so it's every stat that you see, like whenever you're going to make a transfer. So like things like bonus points, saves, red cards, yellow cards, penalties, goals, assists, of course, minutes played. But it also has the things like the influence, creativity, like all of those like extra ones. And
right,
then
it
also is combining in the team stats. So it has like the opponent's sort of like rankings included.
Interesting.
Got it. And, so you got access to all of that.
Yeah, so you can access all of that. The team one isn't quite fully incorporated. It's there by proxy, but that's actually the next step, is I'm trying to incorporate that data more fully. But that's kind of the main thing. And so there are two sort of algorithms to try to, that I sort of made. Now, I'll say the reason why I don't quite know exactly is I did use ChatGPT to do like all of the code. I probably wrote like 20 lines of code or so, but most of it is written by that. And it's me explaining like, this is what the data looks like, and I need you to do this. And so it just does that for you. So like, and so that's been super cool. And just playing around. But the first one I did though is sort of, it takes the data for each week, and then it just goes back and says, okay, if I knew perfectly, like hindsight is 20/20, which team would I have picked with my budget to build for this week? So that's one. So it takes into account the budget constraint and will tell you your team for every week and the total points that team would have scored. So for example, the top, if you were a perfect predictor, if you had a free hit every week, you'd be at like 4,600 points, like Premier League points. And if you could like perfect captain, which I think is like double, it's like insane versus what the actual like person is.
And just so that I'm clear about the sort of time scale here. So it's telling you who a perfect team would be, or it's telling you who your perfect team would have been had you made the correct decisions in the past.
What it would have been if you would have made the correct decisions. So it's kind of okay. Saying like, okay, if we were playing a game where you were free hitting every week, like who would have been your best team to pick each week? Because that's something like I would never, I just wanted to sort of see like what kind of players get picked. And it's sort of a way to see how much does like the points per like dollar spent matter. That's really because when you're using an algorithm with perfect information, it's trying to essentially balance the cost versus the points.
Okay.
And so it's kind of like a fancy way of doing that, or like a slightly different way to do that. For example, like weird things come up from that where it's like Haaland is never like almost never picked any week in that system.
Interesting. And so, this was making sense to me because what my follow-up question was, how is that different than just picking the players who scored the most over the past game week? What you're saying is it actually factors in if you had a certain budget, whether it's 100 or whether it's your current budget, it could tell you with that money, what would be the best way to spend it? Okay. That makes sense.
Yep. Yep. And it also takes into account the price rises and falls through the season. So when it's doing it, it can adjust like even as the price keeps going up or down, which players become more or less valuable.
Cool.
So it kind of gives you this rough estimate of like, and really what I like it for, the way I'd say is like, these are often what I call dart throw picks or something like that. Like they're probably a good list of people who it's like, they're boom bust players at the very least. So that's one model. The other model is more of a like it takes who like a player is going to play and tries to make a point prediction. Like it's very like, so it's like, how many points do you think Haaland will score against Arsenal this week? And so that one, there's a lot of stuff happening in the background, but that's how that one works.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Does the other one also? The first one you mentioned, does it take into account dynamic team values? Can you like plug in a specific budget or anything, or is it just always locked to that 100-pound budget?
It's locked to the 100-pound budget.
Okay. Which so even though we would accrue like three, we could accrue 3 or 4 million throughout the season based on team value. But it's always going to take into account a 100-pound budget. Okay.
Yes. So actually, this model is actually, I mean, it doesn't actually make a prediction for you. You have to eventually put in the players, but it's pretty good for that challenge. Like, because you're going to, except for this first week, because there's unlimited budget. But if there's 100 budget every week and it's dealing with price rises, that's like exactly what this, like the game, this is.
Yeah.
Sort of mimics.
Could you theoretically, this may be beyond the sort of like capabilities of this particular model, but like could you theoretically update the model each week with the sort of parameters of each weekly challenge and be like, you know, give me an ideal team with these limitations or constraints in mind? Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay. So I don't know if it could be this model, but because the data is all here, like for example, if it was like clean sheets, what you could do is just have, this is where you're like, oh, ChatGPT, write some code to get out of this data. Who are the players with the most clean sheets? And it would just, and the thing is, that's all just set up to there. So like, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do this is I was just like, I want to know how to get the data on this, because then whatever you want to get, it can be very quick. But some of that stuff is also just in the app. So, yeah. But it could be interesting to predict like with the cost, if you wanted to just add in that one element, it could probably do that, you know.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I have another quick question about the individual player sort of predictions. You said that you want to incorporate sort of team data more fully into the model, like in the example that you cited of predicting Haaland's score against Arsenal. Is that prediction taking into account the fact that Arsenal is a top three team? And basically that quality of opponent, is that something that factors in?
So it would factor in right now insofar as like the opponent ID, like the model knows who the opponent is. And so it would say like, oh, what does a normal opponent do against Arsenal? Right. Like it can take into account some kind of like big data point like that. But for the thing that I'm, but that's not very good. So like this is where I was like, I'm trying to figure out how to improve the model. And actually, I was trying to do it before this. I couldn't quite get all the code to work. But like what I was seeing was something like about a 3 or 4% like reduction in error. Like it's getting closer when I can add in like it's mostly about home versus away. Like how good is the team's defense at home or the attack at home versus how good is it away? And that seems to be some data that when it's added in makes a pretty good difference with the model, but I just couldn't figure out how to get it quite going all the way yet. So that's why like it sort of does, but not quite all the way.
Interesting. And so have you been testing it based on like historical situations? Like you've given it the data leading up to like game week 10 and asked it to predict like Vladimir Sufal's like points and then kind of tested that against what he actually scored.
Yeah. So what it is it like, so the way that the training works is it will take all of the data for the whole year and it just will like sort of scramble it and then start trying to make predictions just based on the numeric values for all the data and figure out which things seem to have correlations. And then it will take that and you just tell it, I want to make a prediction about total points for like the points for a week. And so then what you do is you say, okay, given this and we have this upcoming game, try to predict what each player will do. So it uses like essentially anonymous data and then takes a real player's data after it's trained itself and then makes a prediction on that. So that's sort of the, how it works.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's weird. It's weird stuff.
That's amazing. I love it.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. So I also like to think like there's a bunch of like social media companies and stuff doing creepy stuff with it. And there's a part of me that's like, I like thinking like I use this power to just like muck about doing Fantasy Premier League. Like,
yes.
until I find like a task. Because I'm like, I don't also quite know what I'm doing, but this stuff is crazy. This is a bit of the podcast got too serious on me for a second, but
no, I mean,
but like, yeah.
could I ask you a sort of
existential crisis? Oh no.
Well, I was going to ask you an existential question actually. And, I figured I would ask it because I know that you like thinking about this kind of thing. So I figured you'd appreciate it. But like, from your perspective, does it matter to you that you don't know exactly how it works?
Yes. Yeah. I do. It is, but it's also, it's a difficult thing because in so many ways I learn by doing. Like the way I learned how to shoot a basketball is by like shooting a basketball a lot. And there's something that like with code, you can't even like see it run in properly to know. You can't like have a miss. It's just like broken or runs. So just getting something to run and then being able to check on that is a useful way to learn for me. So it's a difficult thing because it's like, yes, the fact that I don't understand it under the hood is not great, but also me being able to see it is how I'm understanding what's going on under the hood.
Yeah. To put it in medieval terms, you have to have imitatio before you can have inventio, right? You have to be able to imitate before you can invent.
Yes, that's it.
Okay, I see. Yeah.
So that's why I think it's been really interesting for that reason. It's been like more of a learning thing than a building thing.
Yeah, fascinating.
Yeah.
So
okay.
So how could you see this like intersecting with our, you know, we're about a very particular league here, William Spicer, and we want to know the ramifications for our players, the players that we represent and serve.
Yes, indeed.
So for our constituency, how can they expect this to intersect with the league as we know it?
Well, I think with the league, what I really want to do is I want to figure out how to make this where it's available for anyone in the league to just go to and type in and search. And like they, like you can do your own research. And I think that I can do that by next season. So that's kind of my goal. It's like, I'm kind of sort of like sorting it out now. And then by next season, it would be that. What I'd really love to do is somehow have everyone in our Discord. It's like we join a league and we just have one team. And it's like the only goal is to get this one team to be the number one team in the world. And it's some version of like we all vote, plus we give the AI like a vote. right? And so like, I just want to make a Google form. And then what it does is like for each person in our league, it gives us all the same weight. And then like what we could do is like adjust the AI's weight or something. And then be like, okay, let's sort of like try to figure out how to pick teams. And we can have different strategies. Like I wish we could have multiple teams. Maybe we could, but like one where it's like, yeah, we don't care about hits. Like essentially we just let the AI be like, take a hit every week. We think you can beat like the game on hits or like,
oh my gosh.
But just throw like a couple of different like things like that. And then us voting into there and be like, how high can we get it? Because I'd also think it'd be hilarious if it was going well. And then we could like send people to the podcast and be like, yeah, they have this machine, like democratic AI, like nonsense going on.
Oh, I love that.
So that's what I would love to do, because one of the best things about this fantasy sport to me compared to all the other ones is that you can play it collaboratively and competitively at the same time, whereas it necessitates being competitive because like the resource is scarce in other fantasy settings.
Totally.
Well,
Evan, what about you? Okay. What other applications could you see for it?
So I really do like the idea of like the hive mind kind of team where we use the AI to help inform our decision. But I do think that there's a couple of things. One, we could use it to gauge ourselves. It's not necessarily something to interact with, but it's more of like how well you did versus like we can use the model to know what the maximum amount of points is possible. But I don't know how that would work because we have a different limitation than the model as far as like the number of transfers taking hits. So I guess if there's probably some way to like compare like our teams, just individual teams, to like maybe each week, like did you beat or did you match? Like how close did you get to being the best that week? And kind of seeing like the gap. Cause I mean, it's gonna be impossible to be the very top, I think.
Yeah.
Even the people that have the highest points of the game week may not have the highest possible points in general for that week. So, right. So I think if like seeing how close you can get to that would be impressive. But then on the same token, like thinking about that new challenge, the fantasy challenge game mode, that I think you could maybe use, because it's a very like isolated weekly event. You can use the model to help you, pick the highest points total for that week. And then do some like configuring based off of the whatever particular challenge it is that week that you need to abide by. But I do think that there's some application in both of those scenarios.
Yeah, almost sort of one sort of manifestation of that would be similar to Spice, how the median functioned in your fantasy football league, the Dynasty League in the past, which is sort of like, I mean, it would be different here because there wouldn't be points assigned for, you know, beating the AI or I like the idea of like beat the bot.
Yeah.
But just something to like think about, like, can you beat the bot on individual game week would be a really fun sort of, as Evan says, like benchmarking thing.
Oh, yeah. OK, now that's something that I should do is I should build one so most of my AIs are one for all, but I'll make one that's an all for one where I tried to inject it into the corporate global league. And it's like, okay, now this is the one where it's like, it lets it do its, it plays all on its own, like unsupervised.
That would be so much fun.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. That would be a blast. Yeah. But I think you could do it like manually to some degree, right? Like a beat the bot. If you had the predicted one predict it and you could like share it And then we can just go back and see. We can go back and manually calculate, or we go back and use that data to see how much that those points actually got. You could see if we beat it, yeah.
Yeah.
For each week, because I guess it would be a week by week thing.
Yeah.
Because you're predicting each week individually.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also, Spicer, I've never heard anyone formulate it this way, where you said all of my AIs. And I'm just imagining a scenario where Spice is like sitting on the ground with like all of these like little computers around him, like, ooh, all of my AI.
I'm just thinking about iRobot when there's all of the robots in the
yeah. Wow, what a flick.
Yes, also thank you for it is an absurd thing, but it is because it's like, yeah, all of my little creatures, because it's like, oh, they're not creatures, it's just like a math formula. It's like, yeah, saying all my math formulas crawling around out there.
Yeah.
Our sci-fi brains love turning ones and zeros into
monsters,
human-like. Yeah, monsters, human-like entities that are going to take over the world, and
yeah,
so,
or even more troublingly, in Spicer's formulation, possessing them, right? Like my AI,
right? Yeah, yeah. Maybe cool. We're the cruel ones.
Maybe
all the sci-fi movies have it wrong. We're not going to be the ones that are subject to them. They're going to be
I feel like most sci-fi movies made in the last 15 years, that has been the theme, though.
Or that we are like treating AI robots poorly.
Oh, not AI. I was just thinking of like we're the cruel ones. I feel like that's
been
like the thesis statement of sci-fi in the last 20 years.
No, of course, no. But I just mean when you introduce like human-like robots, it's always like the fear is that they're going to take over us. But it's like, no, if I know what humans are capable of, we're going to treat them poorly. You know, we're going to, you know what I mean? Like, we're going to make it to where they are not, I don't know. Anyway,
yeah.
I don't think we'll have a problem, but.
Listener, anyway. This has been the Corporate Global Fantasy Premier League Technology Podcast. The podcast you didn't ask for, but you didn't know you needed.
Yeah.
Spice, thank you so much for explaining that for us. That's was really helpful. And I'm very excited to see how this plays out.
Yes, and I hope I can get there. I hope I can get there for next season. So
totally. And if anybody listening has other ideas of maybe way we can questions or ways we can use it,
or can help,
pop that in the Discord, or can help if you can help Spicer out.
What are the minimum
requirements to help you with this project?
Really, it's just an internet connection and however much time you want to sink into it.
And a ChatGPT login?
Yeah. That's up to you, but I recommend it.
All right. Man, so Spice, you mentioned at the before we started recording the possibility of a couple surprises.
Yes.
We've already had some surprises in the form of the new Fantasy Premier League Challenge, but is there anything else you wanted to bring to the table?
Absolutely. Well, so for starters, we got to talk about the Corporate Global Fantasy Premier League now, because we've been talking about all this other all this other crazy stuff. So now it's time to get to it, which is I don't want Tim to win. I want to catch Tim so bad because he's had an amazing season, but it's also like this sounds terrible, but he is someone who rides on hope because he picks his boys. Like, he rides with his players.
Yeah.
And I'm like this evil, demented person who's like, no, that will be your downfall. I'll chomp you down as those Spurs just crumble into like out of Europe or whatever.
Oh, man.
But I was like, I feel like I've been sort of missed on the podcast, because I had a couple of really good weeks in there where Jay were also the same weeks that Jay hit like his couple hundreds in a row. But I think I went like 92, 96 back to back. And so I was like, ooh, okay, I've been able to sneak around at this like second or third best each week for a little bit.
Yeah, you're amassing points, but you're not under the white hot lights of the top, you know, three or four yet.
Yeah.
So you're sort of like how like West Ham has been at different points in the past 2 years, where they're like playing really well and they're like, oh, all of a sudden they're in a Champions League spot. Or like Villa kind of has been that way a little bit too. Like you blink and they're in the top four or top six. Yeah, that's a good analogy for how you've been playing recently, I think.
Yes. So I've been loving that. I've also been loving, we've had a lot of movement in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
A lot of being rewarded for keeping the faith, playing the game, and being active overall. But it's also, I don't know, I feel like this Premier League season has been really fun to play too.
Yeah.
With like the types of players who have been doing well and the way that the Premier League has moved as a stylistically, it's been a really fun season.
Yeah, I totally agree. And Spice, just looking around and playing with the league table a little bit. Guess who scored the most points in the month of February in our league?
Is it Hunter?
No.
Oh, was you?
It was me. No, you were next.
Okay.
You were right behind me. We're both right there, which is cool to see.
Yeah. Okay. That also makes me feel a little better because I was like, yeah, I felt like I've been cooking. I was cooking there for a hot minute, and so were you. You weren't giving yourself enough credit. You were on. Well, so you get to hide under your own podcast, the hiding in plain sight kind of stuff.
This is all just us tooting our own horns, but I mean, I was surprised. I was surprised to see that too because I knew I'd had a couple good game weeks, but the first half of the season was just so sort of decrepit that, like, it's sort of tinging my outlook at this point. But I'm feeling better. I'm feeling better. Just today, looking at the spots, like the what it would take for me to get into a Champions League spot, it still feels possible because it's like 32 points. I can make up 32 points in, you know, whatever 9 game weeks we have.
No, it's more than that, Taylor. It's you have to pass Jeff.
No, I have to just pass. I just have to get into. Wait, is the top 5 going in?
Yeah, it's top 5.
Oh,
and the winner
right.
of it's top 5 and the winner of the zombie.
Oh, okay.
Okay. While we're here, I did want to make. I've been thinking about this for Champions League or for Europe. I've been wondering should you two be given a host spot where you always are in the league, and so like if you end up in the top 5,
no.
Actually the top 6, and so it becomes that.
That feels
thing,
that feels
like...
way way too inside baseball. That's like something Florentino Perez would do.
If
that feels like very actual soccer league.
This is when we start turning into like corrupt FIFA.
Exactly. We start taking bribes left and right.
Yeah. Oh wow.
Yeah, it's like it's like awarding the, you know, World Cup it to like Saudi Arabia or something like that. We're just blatantly you know, on the take.
Yeah.
But no, I appreciate the thought, but I feel that would be a bridge too far, even for me. Even in my desperation to get into Corporate Global Fantasy Premier League Europe, I will not go that far.
I'm just thinking about all of the controversial players we would add to our league out of the world, like Vladimir Putin is in our league, is in the
like
fantasy
controls
league.
Controls a team?
Yeah, like plays fantasy, and we allow him to be in our team.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. Just thinking about like corruption and like, like I was thinking, what would be the equivalent of awarding a country a World Cup for us?
Oh,
it would be like putting the leader of one of those controversial countries into our league or into the Europe League.
I guess so.
I don't know. Or we, yeah.
You hear that, Putin? You're not allowed in the CGM.
I guess another version of that would be, and this is a much more likely version, would be at the end of the year, we give out like the Corporate Global Fantasy Premier League awards, and they're all just like awards that are hyper specialized to only be given to us. So it's like the most points scored in game week 26 goes to Evan Estes.
Yeah, it's like so specific. That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Spice, speaking of, this is putting you on the spot a little bit, but looking ahead to our large group date at Fazoli's at the end of the season.
Spoiler. We're doing it again.
Are there any awards that you might be interested in sort of like starting up this year, like things, any new awards that we might need to add to the rotation?
I think there's got to be like a, I think there needs to be some kind of persistence award. Like something where it's like for playing through like the whole season. And like even if you didn't make it into the tournament as like the climb. So for example, like Hunter and Gotham FC with their climb, but also Trey coming into the league late. And I think that like his climb has been pretty impressive still. So like things like that. I feel like there should be some kind of like award for something like that.
Oh yeah. It's the climb award. For sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Climb by Miley Cyrus Award.
Exactly. Oh, presented yes. by Miley Cyrus.
Then we could also have a Wrecking Ball by Miley Cyrus Award.
Yeah, I don't know.
Could have maybe most points in, or maybe a newcomer that made it into Europe.
Oh, that's a great one. Yes.
Write that down before we forget it.
I mean, you came up with it. It's on you to remember it.
Come on, Taylor. I don't want to do the work.
I'll write it down, but there's no guarantee that I'll remember that I wrote it down.
I can write it down.
That's great. Because, I mean, that will be true for a couple people. We'll have a couple of Wrecking Ball Awards. We'll have, if things continue as they stand now, I think a couple of newcomers will end up making the European spots. Spice, you said you hope Tim doesn't win. I really hope Tim wins this year. Oh. That's where I'm sitting. Just based on, like, not that it is by any means improbable, but just by virtue of the fact that, like, Tim's relationship to the Discord is more tangential than some of the other people there, and that he, like, pops in and pops out very sporadically. Yeah. And, it's always, like, sort of half-trolling, and then he comes out and wins the league. I would love that for him.
Yes. Also, I mean, he would be a deserving one in terms of like he is a risk-taking player. Like if he wins, like he absolutely won.
Yeah, he's a people's champion pick. For sure.
Yeah, he definitely is.
Yeah. Wow. Evan, are there any sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna ask a question. Are y'all looking at the table? Mm-hmm. I want you to point I want you to indicate at what point in the table would someone be delusional for thinking they can still win?
Okay.
So, okay. All right. Let's just go it down the list. I'll just go down the list. So obviously Tim, right. Not delusional. James Irvin in second.
He can
not
win.
Delusional. He can win. Third place, Rob. He can win. Fourth place, Evan Hare.
He can win.
Fifth place, Jeff Lancaster.
It's getting tough.
Okay, so what, 43 points behind?
Yeah.
Would he be delusional? This is
No, not delusional.
Okay.
Not.
I'm saying delusional, okay? Jeff Lancaster.
You're saying delusional?
No, I'm saying, no, I was just clarifying that's what we're talking, that's the bar.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's delusional at all. Me, at sixth place, mm-hmm. 75 points. Delusional?
I'm going to say delusional. And that's just by virtue, because I think you could, I think if it was Tim at this place and then you, how many points did you say you were behind?
It's like 75, something like that.
Okay, we'll say 75.
Yeah, 75.
So if it was just you two and you were 75 points behind, I think that would be possible. But with the number of people in between you that you would also have to gain points on, that just seems...
Oh, I see.
That just seems so unlikely.
I see. You're saying I could technically beat Tim, but that could just be me moving into fourth and him moving down to fifth.
Right. You're
like,
not going to.
There's still three or four people.
You're not going to beat Tim and Jeff and Evan and James.
I see.
That's
challenge accepted.
That's my opinion. Spice, what do you think?
Okay.
Do you think it would be delusional?
Well, so I was just trying to look at where Tim is with chips, because that's really the thing, because he's played triple captain. I think he's played free hit already. I think he's played mm-hmm. wild card. So I think he might only have bench boost.
Tim just has bench boost.
Okay, because I've been trying to keep up with who's chips. So he only has bench boost. So I still think that actually to like Eli to like 11th still has a reasonable chance if you have all your
teams. Whoa. You are delusional, Spicer. That is insane.
No, because it's like, so if you free hit, there's still two more double game weeks left. And so if you free hit, that is enough of like a, if you have like a 100 point week and someone else has a 50, you made up 50 points in 1 week and there's enough doubles left.
Yeah, but in 11th place, you have to gain 50 points on the top place person and gain points on all of the 9 other people in between you.
This is true, but I don't think it's like out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
I didn't say that.
You said delusional. I think delusional.
Yeah, no. Like, that's what delusional means to me, is like out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, but like past like Eli's kind of like the last person where it's like, I don't think so. Like, I just don't.
But only if he had all of his chips.
Yeah, exactly.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, I see. But I still think that's insane. I don't think that's possible. I think that's out of the realm of possibility. I think at this point you have to be minimum within 100 points. Minimum.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Because there's only 8 or 9 games. So.
Am I delusional for sitting in 8th place? What am I?
You're 64
points behind fifth place with two people, you two, in between me. Am I delusional for thinking I could get into Europe?
I don't think you're delusional, no. I think it is going to be a tough challenge, but you can pull it off.
Yeah, I think it's
delusional at this point.
Because me and Spicer are really going for it. So, you know, so I think it will be tough, but I don't think you're delusional at all. Because like Spicer said, one of those like double game weeks, if you captain the right person or you just like bring in the right people, you could jump like any one game week. I think you would need one game week where you make a pretty big jump.
On both of you, probably.
Yeah, you're going to need to gain like... Yeah, you would probably need to pass both of us in 1 week to gain like 30 points on us, or cut the deficit in half, I guess, is what I'm saying. At some point. Now, you could do it over the span of the rest of the things if you were just consistent, but that's the hard thing, is being that consistent where you're chipping away every like 10 points every single week is difficult. Well, so you got to have one week where you explode.
That's why I think you will end up getting into the European spot, Evan, because that's kind of like your game, is that consistency, I feel like. At least in the past it has been, and that's been what has enabled you to like stay at the top for so long, I think.
Right, but that's different than climbing. Staying at the top is incremental gains.
I feel like over the past, whenever there have been times where, you know, midpoint through the season, you've been in like eighth place, ninth place, whatever, and you've never like vaulted to the top. It's been sort of incremental games over like a certain number of game weeks. It seems to me, at least. Yeah. That's my memory.
That's true. No, I mean, Jeff, if you're listening, I am coming for you, and possibly even Evan Hare.
Can I talk for a second about, we'll I was see. Thinking about like, out of the teams who are currently in Europe, who's going to be the most heartbreaking if they fall out?
Oh, no. I don't want to think about that.
And to me, it's, oh my God, if John Joe's goggles fall out of Europe, I will be devastated.
Oh, me like, too. Like, oh, I would like, feel I'm, so bad.
Yeah. Why, Spicer?
Oh, it's just like, Rob's another one, like Tim, who's like, he's got his boys. He all, like, it's all him. And it's like, and he has so many good players, and he's been so enthusiastic
he will be very heartbroken.
I feel the same way about Jeff. I would be really bummed if Jeff fell out of the European spots.
Yeah, because he could get the Wrecking Ball Award. I think at this point it's probably either him or James, right?
Yeah.
I don't think Hunter could do it.
I would be the least perturbed if Evan Hare fell out of the top the Champions League spots, but that's only because like half of the time he just texts me about who we should change any given game week anyway. So,
oh yeah, well, and I would feel the least bad because I think Evan would be like, oh well, like
exactly.
Also, Evan, if you're listening, you're lesser, like they need to pay you to give like the rundown of their club. Like that, like your rundown of Leicester was incredible on that podcast. I learned so much and it made so much sense what happened.
Yeah. And now they're under EFL investigation.
Yeah.
Crazy. Oh no.
Yeah.
Everyone is.
Yeah.
All the clubs are.
All the clubs that matter, at least, right, Evan?
All the historic clubs are. Just throw the whole football pyramid in the trash and start over.
Wow, that's
burn everything.
That's your
down.
Takeaway?
No, I just think it's funny. It just is weird to me that, and maybe it's just because I'm paying attention to it, but it also feels like there's more investigations than there ever have been. But with that said, I think part of it has to do with the COVID years, and because there was like such a big impact financially, they ended up rolling like the way they like constructed FFP or profit and sustainability. You can do it over the course of 3 years to help even it out. And so finally now things are getting caught up to where it's like, if you did mess up, you're getting caught.
Yeah.
So I think it just happens to be like the timing of it is just, I don't know. So
yeah, I agree. I think that at least is what's happening in Leicester's case, where it's like
right.
them, it's like the cross section of COVID and them going down and yeah, all of that.
Exactly. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, back to the FPL though. but I know Evan would still be distraught. It's still tough to always miss out on European championships. But I want to say all this talk is, I kind of am glad we brought it up, is because I wild carded this weekend. So,
you did.
So it's time to come. Yeah, so I actually have it. I do like the international break wild card. And so I was sort of like dead ending my team to not use my free hit to use the wild card.
I also used to really like the international break wild card. This season, I have been terrified of that.
Mm.
Because
any
of.
Any particular reason?
Because of injuries, and injuries are more prone this season. So, is that the right way to say that? Injuries are more prone. I don't
think
so.
It's not, but that's okay.
Players are more prone to being injured, more prone to injuries. So with that on top of like international breaks, like having such like a long time. Also, I don't think I do well. This is more of like, just in general about me, I think I don't do as well when I have to think about things for too long of a period of time because I overthink it. So I would rather, it doesn't matter if I'm playing fantasy or if I'm playing actual in real life soccer, I do better if I just have to react. Like I trust my instincts better than I do like actually trying to think about it, because then it goes into too many directions and then I inevitably mess up. So that's why I want a shorter period of time to just get the wild card done and move on. And I don't know. So that's where I've been lately. But I don't like hearing that you wild carded, though, because you're 10
scary.
Points behind me. And that's not good. I've already used my wild card. So
I don't know how much you want to disclose about your wild card thoughts, but could you maybe give us a little taste in terms of who is one player we might not be expecting, at least initially? Who you might consider bringing in?
Oh, well, I don't mind telling you, because I made it. I'll just call it like wild card draft, because I don't, because
sure.
there's some, so like, but so I have Ariola Dubravka still as the goalie tandem as like the cheap 1-2 whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. I think then defense is Branthwaite, who I think is like the best enabler defender. I have Saliba because he was like a day one pick, so his value is just too much. So it's like I'm never getting rid of because of value. And then I have Romero and Udogi. Those will probably get swapped out eventually, but they're playing Luton coming up. Like they have a pretty easy schedule for this run up for the next few weeks. So I'm going to kind of ride them out and we'll probably get rid of them eventually. And then I have Bradley for Trent Alexander-Arnold's injury.
I have him too. I love him as a pick.
I do too, and he's going to be awesome for as long as he can stick around. I think that he's someone who, if you can have the transfer, or if you need to like make a move for Mo Salah and need to like downgrade like a Trippier or something, he's like a great way to do it, I think.
Yeah.
Then in the midfield, I have Palmer, as the same value store thing. I have Sun, I have Saka, I have Salah, and I have Foden.
High-powered midfields.
Yeah.
I'm screwed.
I'll say this. I'm tempted to not keep Saka, Foden, and like swap them out only because they're playing each other this week, and like bring them in one other, you know what I mean? Like, because I'm on the wild card, it'll just be my first transfer to like bring in Foden right after they play Arsenal. But
you're going to shoot yourself you're going to shoot yourself in the foot if they draw 2-2 and they both get a goal and an assist, you know?
Yeah. It's like, or it's like they come off of international break and they have like this amazing 5-4, like one for the record books, like kind of game.
Yeah.
So
right, who do you have up top?
Up top is, I have Haaland, of course. And then I have Nunez, from Fulham as the enabler. And I have Cunha, who is injured currently, but he's supposed to be maybe coming back after the international break.
Oh, interesting.
And so
that's a sick team.
So I've gone cheap up top with the ability to like sort of flip in and out off of that.
And you've managed to get Son and Salah and Haaland in the same team, which is very impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so that's what I'm looking at right now. We're going to see how it sticks, but it only leaves me 0.1 million.
Man, I think the Munoz pick is a great one.
I wish I would have picked him the week before.
I know. Well, everyone does.
Wow.
That's a good pick. That's pretty close. That's probably pretty close to what I would have, honestly.
Yeah. So that's the current wild card team.
Nice. Wow, that's exciting.
Yeah. Also, wild cards are just. What a scream. But yeah. I don't know. I'm curious about the Haaland staying on my team though. Long, like forever this season. Especially if I'm not going to captain him. That's really the main thing. I kind of have been thinking like if I have Haaland, Son, Salah, De Bruyne, Saka, who are like these big five that you're picking between. Maybe Ollie Watkins. Like, if I'm going to captain someone, it's almost like it's worth bringing them in, maybe.
Yeah, I've been thinking about the same thing, too, because I could go, like, if I did a, like, drastic drop of Haaland to, like, Munoz, for instance, I could have a midfield that is, like, Salah, De Bruyne, Son, Saka.
Yeah.
And then have maybe like Palmer on the bench or something like that. Or maybe he comes in and plays as a fifth midfielder. That's pretty crazy. And it's very tempting to get rid of Haaland for that reason.
Yeah, exactly. Especially because there's still other great captains picks, it seems. Even when he goes off, other people do too now.
Yeah. Maybe I'll do that. Wow.
Gosh, I am really not looking forward to having to make that decision game week one of next season. Do I have Haaland or not?
Yeah,
they're not going to drop him in price by that much. He'll probably be like 13.5.
You don't think they'll keep him as the same?
No.
Has his price dropped over the course of the season? It hasn't, right?
I don't think so, but that only happens if people transfer him out.
Oh.
And I don't think that many people have transferred him out, really. And like, because people bring him in, bring him out, you know, whatever. It may have dropped when he was out for a bit, when everyone got rid of him, when he was injured.
Right.
But then he may have gone back up because everyone brought it back in. I don't know.
Yeah, right now he's at 14.3 and he started at 14.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. You're telling me he went up?
Yeah.
And everyone started with him.
Which is funny because
how does that even happen?
It's funny because no one's really like none of us have noticed that because we've all just had Haaland for so long. It's like you don't notice the price rises and falls.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wild. Yeah. Okay.
Man, thanks for spilling the beans on your wild card, Spice.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so appreciate that's it. If anyone wants, there's some of the other players I really like though are I really love Douglas Luiz, and I really really like Gordon and Isak. Like the Newcastle attack coming down the stretch here as Isak's getting healthy.
Yeah,
I'm really interested.
I think Isak would be a really fun punt of a pick.
That's interesting.
Like if you
that
want a big differential.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at their fixtures. I don't know if they're any good or not, but
yeah, because my sense of Newcastle is that they're sort of like limping across the finish line, but I guess that's mostly that's mostly like from a defensive perspective, not necessarily from an attacking perspective.
Yeah. And for them, unfortunately, it's like the literal limping across. It seems right. Like their defenders yeah. are really getting injured.
Yeah.
Man. Anything else to pot about, y'all? Or did we cover everything?
We covered everything.
Literally everything. Well, I mean, new stuff, old stuff.
Wow. Well, this is great. Spicer, thank you so much for joining us on the pod.
Oh, thank y'all for having me. I enjoyed it immensely, and I'm going to win this league somehow, despite that I'm in just living in a fairy tale, it seems. Yeah.
Yeah. If my position is delusional, then yours definitely is too.
Wouldn't that be something?
According to Taylor.
If like the minute Spice sort of like develops his algorithm, he starts rocketing up the table, and that would be a real Cinderella story.
I'm really expecting to drop like a stone though, because that would really be hilarious too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listener, thank you for joining us for another episode of the Corporate Global Fantasy Premier League podcast. It has been a pleasure, and we'll see you soon. All right. It's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Bye, y'all.